Blog Talk Radio.
This is Grover Weaver speaking. We're speaking to you live from the city of Fort Worth, Texas, and we greet you this evening in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and hope that the best have happened for you today, that joy, safety, and peace have been the fulfillment of this Labor Day. Today is a special day for workers. It's Labor Day, and it's our message to the nation as the Democratic Convention meet in Charlotte to re-nominate President Obama for a second term. This is a day that the job creators did not give to the workers in this country. This came by the grace of unions. All things that are good surrounding your job, 40-hour work week, sick leave, vacation, health care, workplace safety, all came from unions. History tells us your boss would drive you like a sugar mill mule if it was not for organized labor. Labor Day was first celebrated in New York City on September the 5th, 1882. 12 years later, Congress made it official, the first Monday in September. Labor Day is special in a presidential election year. It is traditionally the day that the campaigns began. They are off and running. The Republicans were in Tampa choosing their candidates, and the Democrats will be in Charlotte confirming their candidates this week. I'm excited. The president will give a reason for his reelection on Thursday and an answer to the question, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? As the Republicans attempt to build a campaign focused on the president's records on jobs, let us not forget the record numbers of filibusters in the Senate. And we must remember the conspiracy by the GOP to tank the economy by not giving the president any support on getting the country back to work. Robert Draper wrote of this conspiracy and named the co-conspirators in his book titled Do Not Ask What Good We Do. There were a dozen former or present congressmen to give names to a few. Paul D. Ryan, yes, the vice presidential nominee for the Republican Party, chairman of the Budget Committee. Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, just to name two. They met in the caucus room, restaurant on Inauguration Day in 2008 and 2009, conspired against the American people and prevented Mr. Obama's reelection. They did this here to conspire and to prevent Obama's reelection in 2012. The ANUS against Mr. Obama was formed on a cold January night in 2008 after he won the Iowa caucus. He called for new politics in his victory speech. He would say later he was talking about doing the big things like health care and financial reform. He asked the Democrats, Republicans, and Independents to come together in unity and hope that one night in Des Moines and to do a deal. President Obama and the Democrats for 2.5 years being over backwards to get the GOP in the game. But they tried to get them to incorporate their ideas into the stimulus. Even gave the Senate Foreign Finance Committee time to come up with a bipartisan health care plan. But they chose this obstruction and intransigence. At some point, you stop beating your head against the brick wall of opposition and you take it to the street. What he got for his efforts was a record number of filibusters from the Senate. The House did not want cooperation but confrontation. From the Republican Party, he got not civility but rudeness. After the debt and the credit crisis and the country's downgrade, he turned to we the people. Last week, Mitt Romney did not tell the country how they would get the country back to work. What they got was blame Obama for everything and no mention of Afghanistan or Pakistan. None of the tens of thousands of troops that still over there in that foreign land losing their lives every day, they were silent on. These crown prince of politics ended their convention believing victory is all but assured with their effort to suppress the minorities, the students, and the elderly vote, and their attempt at racial politics by telling the white people the black president is sending their money in the form of a welfare check to lazy black people. The Republican left Tampa branded a liar, and the talk of the town was the empty chair. Clint Eastwood stole the show. Romney has tons of that filthy lucre his rich friends have given him, and it cannot get his campaign over the hump. The polls have given him no bump, and he gets no love from the people. I wish to close this broadcast by sharing with my audience something I read in the Activities of the Apostles, which caused me to think of Romney. You'll find it in the 8th chapter, the 22 and the 23 verse. But let me just preference those verses by saying a man went down to Syria to speak to the people. As he spoke, his word touched their spirit, and they were overjoyed. There was a man who watched it all. He was rich, conducted his business in secrecy, and he watched the people react to this man to whom he desired his office. And thinking he could buy it for the gain he would obtain if he was elected to the office, the man told him his heart was not right because he thought he could buy the gift of God with money. You would not have a part in this matter, he was told by the man, and your money perish with you. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity. Thank you for listening tonight, and may the Lord be a blessing to everyone that's in your household. Amen.